across the UK, across continental North America, and around the world on the internet by webcast and by podcast. My name is Howard Hughes, and this is The Unexplained. Thank you for joining me again. Weather in London, pretty reasonable. There's been a lot of rain, a lot of cloud, but also some lovely sunshine here as we go through the autumn and head towards the winter, which I don't even want to think about. I hope that everything is good with you. Thank you very much for all of your emails. Keep those coming. You can go to my website, theunexplained.tv, and you can email me from there. Follow the link and the emails get through to me. And just to repeat some news that I think you might have got from other sources anyway, including my social media, my official Facebook page, the television show, The Unexplained, ends on October the 1st. And I will be explaining in due course what comes next after that. So I know that you've wanted me to explain this. I haven't been able to before now. But the television show, far as I understand, ends October the 1st. That will be the last edition in pictures. Now, on this edition of the podcast, and thank you to Adam, my webmaster, by the way, on this edition of the podcast, one of the guests from the TV show, something I've never done before, this is a phone-in, a call-in section of the show. Now, this edition of The Unexplained is going to be shorter than usual, but I think it might be interesting to hear, because a lot of people that I know, including myself, and by goodness, I know myself, a lot of people have had strange and maybe prophetic dreams lately. I don't know what's going on with the world. Maybe we're being overloaded with information and things to worry about. I certainly am. But I've been having very, very odd dreams on a regular basis lately. So I thought we would do a call-in with Lori Loewenberg, a certified dream analyst, syndicated columnist, author, radio personality, speaker, and member of the International Association of the Study of Dreams, or for the Study of Dreams. Lori Loewenberg in America turned out to be a great guest, and you will hear some of the calls that came in for her and some of the questions that were for her. So we've never done this before. I've never featured a call-in section of either the radio show over the years or the television show. So I hope you will excuse the television sound that you're about to hear, because I don't think it's as good as the radio sound, but it's still perfectly audible. So the television sound, when we get into it, you know, it always sounds different, you know, and the audio, when we're doing podcasts like this or radio shows, just is more intimate and closer, I think, than the TV sound. So just to explain that. But that's what we're going to do on this edition. I don't think there's anything else to say beyond that, just that I'm in the process of booking more guests for the podcasts upcoming, and I might take a couple of weeks off the podcasts, possibly coinciding with or around the cruise that we're about to do, the Unexplained Live 2023 with Morella. But more details about that, of course, because I've been at this podcast pretty consistently with very few breaks for 18 years nearly. It'll be next year, beginning of next year. And the radio show, which became a TV show, of course, 7.5, nearly 8 years. And you do that by yourself, it takes a toll on you. I remember Art Bell used to talk about that. And I think that's probably why Art retired a couple of times, although he never really said so. I think he wanted more time for himself, was one of the reasons behind his retirement. Well, I'm not planning to retire anytime soon, as far as I know, but I just need a bit of a break. And I hope you understand. If you've got guest suggestions, please email them to me through my website, theunexplained.tv. I'm always grateful and happy to hear from you wherever you are in this world. Okay, from the television show then, bearing in mind this is TV sound you're about to hear, this is an edited version of the dream analyst, and I found her fascinating and very nice, Lori Loewenberg. We're going to talk about these dreams. If we were on radio, we'd be able to play appropriate music. We are not allowed to play music on the TV, so you'll just have to imagine your favourite song to do with dreams. I usually use These Dreams, which was... Who had the hit with These Dreams? Mark will know. These Dreams... I'm singing now. It's probably against copyright laws as well. The year was 1989, and the song was called These Dreams. Heart, thank you so much. See, I say it. It comes in there, it comes out of here. It's amazing how that happens. Now, 0344-499-1000. We're going to learn something and also have some fun, I think, along the way here with Lori Loewenberg, who is a top analyst of dreams, very well known in the United States. I've got her biography here somewhere. I'll read a little bit of it, but we've got to get straight to her and take your calls on 0344 499 1000 if you have a recurring dream. If you've had a dream this week, you've come out of it thinking, my God, that was profound, but I don't quite know why. Lori Loewenberg will know why. She's a certified dream analyst, syndicated columnist, author, popular radio personality, speaker and member of IASD, the International Association for the Study of Dreams. I didn't know there was one. She spent much of her childhood keeping a dream journal in order to capture all those wonderfully strange adventures that she experienced every night. Not everybody does. I do. Maybe you don't. Maybe you do. We're going to explore this tonight, 0344 499 1000. You can text in the usual way on 87222, and I'll read it out. But it's not half as much fun as you coming on the phone and doing this. Lori Loewenberg is here. Lori, thank you so much for doing this with us.
Good evening. Thank you so much for having me.
Was my description, I always worry about biographies of people, was that right?
You did very well, yes.
Okay. Where do we start with this? I think we need to take this all the way back to basics. First question, what is a dream? What do you think it is?
Mm-hmm. Dreaming is a thinking process. It's a continuation of your thought stream from the day. So whatever goes on today, whatever you're thinking about, whatever you experience, whatever you feel, will be played out in a response to it when you dream. It's a commentary from your subconscious mind about how your day went.
Okay, so I once described it on this show, and everybody was very polite and they didn't say, no, that's not what it is. I described it as a washing machine for the psyche. Is that right?
That's a very colorful way to put it.
Well, that's me all over, you know? That's what I'm like. Right, so all of this stuff comes into your head, and because, you know, we're awake, how many hours a day are we awake? Well, it depends, you know, what your job is, what you do and how you live. But you might be awake 16 hours a day, maybe, right? Stuff, inputs are coming into you all the time. Emotions are flowing through your head. Stuff that you see on the train, it's all going in there. And is the idea behind the dream that if you didn't dream, then you would be overloaded with stuff?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it as well. It is, dreams serve many purposes. One of them is, as you described, a defrag of your computer. And so it helps us process what we went through during the day. It helps us process our emotions. It inspires us. It will warn us when we're going down the wrong path. It will slap us in the face when we're doing something wrong. That's where the nightmare comes into play. It will tell us the same thing over and over and over again when we're not getting the message. That's where the recurring dreams come into play. And sometimes they'll even open a door and give us a little glimpse into the future. And that's where the precognitive dreams come into play.
A lot of people, though, that I've talked to this week, knowing that you were coming on, and some people in this building that I'm broadcasting from, they should know better, but they tell me they don't dream. Or certainly, if they do dream, they don't recall their dreams. How common is that?
Very common. Unfortunately, because dreaming is the most powerful part of who we are, but they're so slippery. By nature, dreams are pretty much short-term memory. So everybody dreams. If you are a warm-blooded mammal, you are dreaming. If you are a dog or a cat, you are dreaming. It's a natural, necessary function of the brain, but so many of us just don't remember them. Therefore, we think, oh, I just don't dream. You're just not remembering them.
Does everybody dream in the same way? Though, you know, those who can recall their dreams, do they have similar sorts of dreams? I mean, look, I have dreams regularly, especially at times of stress. So I've had a lot lately, virtually nightly, and sometimes often the same, but we'll get into that. In other words, for most people who dream, is it like black and white, like a black and white 1930s movie? Or is it, as it is for me, and sometimes that's disturbing, three-dimensional walking around people that I can react with?
Yes, Dreams are like that. They're very much like life. You can feel, you can see, you can taste, you can smell. It's a very, very real experience. That's why when you're in the dream, you don't, most of the time, you don't know it's a dream and it's your reality at that moment.
When I have them, I'm sorry for talking about me, but I guess this goes for a lot of people too. How come a lot of the people I come into contact with in dreams and sometimes have rational conversations that I think about the replies to things that they say, you know, with, how come a lot of those people I've never seen before in my life?
Because everything in your dream is an aspect of the self. So these people in your dream that you don't know, that you've never met before, just dream people, are elements of the self. They are different parts of your personality. The persons in your dream are part of your personality.
Right. So they're actually a bit of me. How weird is
that?
Yes. All right. I don't know whether
you're very narcissistic when we dream. It's all about me, me, me.
And you think you're sort of traveling to places and doing, well, maybe you are to an extent. I've been having one, and if we can do this in 2 minutes, I'd be very grateful. But I've been having one this last week, and I've been having variations of it most nights for the last 7 nights. Okay. It's a bit of a stressful time. And I go back to a radio station that was a very big one that I used to work at. And we had, you know, millions of listeners in London every single day. And it was a great time of my life, 10 years there. But I'm having these dreams about it now where I go back to this place. Well, it's called the name Capital Radio, but it's not a building. It's never a building I recognize. And it's also not in a town that I recognize. It's not in London. It's in a place I don't recognize. Sometimes I can describe the streets to you, but they're nowhere I've ever been before. So I go into the building, and this dream has variations, but the theme is much the same. Last night's was this: go into the building, and this time I'm not reading the news, I'm playing records in this place, and I have to go into a room where the place where you play the records is semicircular, and sitting all around me are some colleagues I recognize from the past. There was a guy called David Jensen. He was in the dream. They're all sitting on easy chairs. There are maybe 20, maybe 30 of these people. Most of the faces I don't know, but I assume that they're all people who work there, and they're all watching me, and I feel flustered because I'm not quite ready, and I don't know the equipment for some reason, and I'm wondering, why am I playing records on the air? It's weird, right? And also an element of this is that I have to leave the building to get something, then I can't find my way back in. If you can give me a 1 minute on that, because this has been bugging me for 7 days now.
Okay, so we have a time period, 7 days. So it will be connected to something you've been dealing with for 7 days straight that has not changed or progressed because you keep getting the same dream. There's a lot of stress in this dream. So clearly it's connected to some sort of stress you're dealing with for the last 7 days. And it's taking you back to a form of work you used to do. So something must be going on right now that feels kind of similar to back then when you were in radio. The thing that stands out to me that I think is where the message is, because dreams don't just mean something, they also provide a message for you. The message is in all the people sitting in the easy chairs. These are all the different elements of you saying, hey, you've got to freaking take it easy. Relax. You're stressing yourself out, man.
My God. Well, that's amazing. Listen, this is not about me, so I indulged myself there. I want to get callers to you next. We're going to take some commercials. I'm sure you've done this a zillion million times in various formats and places. Got people calling in from all over the United Kingdom, so let's get to it. 0344 499 1000. Laurie Loewenberg is the lady that you can see on that side of the screen. Laurie Loewenberg, internationally famous dream analyst in the United States, is with us. 0344 499 1000. If you have a dream, that you want analysed by Laurie, we're going to do that right now. Shane in Sydney, can you call us back? We've been trying to call you back and we can't reach you. So Shane, call us again. All right, let's get to the calls now for Laurie Loewenberg, and we'll see where we go with this. We're going to take them as we get them. First up, Tim, at the home of the Kingfisher Shopping Centre, which I well remember from my days at Radio Wyvern. Tim in Redditch, Worcestershire. How are you, Tim?
I'm okay, thanks. How are you?
I'm very good, Tim. Listen, I'm going to let you say hello to Laurie and then just explain your story. So, Laurie, meet Tim in Worcestershire, and Tim will tell you his story.
Hi, Tim.
Hi, Laurie. I lost both of my parents a couple of years ago, both within 18 months of each other. I frequently dream about both of them. But recently, I had a dream where... So my father passed away first before my mum. And I recently had a dream that I was at my mum's funeral again. And my dad was there. excuse me. He was fully suited, attending the funeral as people do. But he didn't talk. There was nothing coming from him at all. I tried to talk to him, tried to hug him, nothing. It's just like he was there, but he was a statue.
Okay. Now, don't worry. That was not his spirit ignoring you and not having anything to do with you. This is just part of your grief process. And it is very common after someone we love dies to dream of them and not being able to communicate with them. They don't acknowledge us, or they won't speak to us, or they turn their back to us. All that is your subconscious, your psyche, trying to adjust to the fact that you can't communicate with them anymore, not on this plane anyway. So don't let the dream upset you. It's just letting you know where you are in grief. So you're probably not at acceptance yet. Now, that's not to say that your father or your mother is not going to come through to you while you're in the dream state, because I very much believe that they can and that they do. And in fact, it was a dream of my own grandfather when he came through after his death that propelled me to study dream psychology. So those dreams, and let me know if you've had one like this. When they come through, we call them contact dreams, and they look great. And they're usually smiling, and you are aware that they've passed, and they say something to you like, I'm still here, or everything's fine. And they may even mention something going on in your life right now. And then when you wake up from those dreams, you can smell them, you can feel them around you, and it feels different than other dreams. Have you had that experience yet?
No, I haven't, but okay. I hope so.
You will. Hang in there. It'll come.
And just a quickie from me, and thank you, Tim, very much for the question. I hope that helped. Are you saying there, Laurie, that you think that there is some element of possible communication with something beyond us, or am I taking that too far?
No, I believe that, of course, we have no conclusive proof, right? But I believe, because of my own experience and because of thousands and thousands of people that have told me their experiences, that those that have passed on can communicate with us while we're in the dream state. If you think about it, everything that exists in some form of energy that travels in waves. Our brains work in waves. So if we continue to exist after bodily death, we are existing in a form of energy that gives off vibrations, travels in waves. So perhaps when we're in REM dream sleep, which is when our brain waves have slowed down to perhaps the perfect frequency where we're able to tune in like a radio to their frequency and communicate.
Okay. Very quickly, and it's got to be quick because this is something that a lot of people have mentioned to me and I've experienced too. My parents are in my dreams a lot. I've lost both of them, but I don't see them. Why is that?
So you're just aware of their presence in the dream?
I know they're there.
You know they're there, but you never actually see them.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you a parent?
No.
Okay. Because very often when we dream of our parents, they'll represent our own role as a parent. Since you're not a parent, then they're likely, you're aware of their presence in the dream because perhaps it's them letting you know they're still around you and watching you, or perhaps because they're on your mind a lot that day. Mm. Something may have reminded you of your father or your mother. Maybe you saw them in yourself, in your behavior, or something you said sounded just like something your dad would say, and then they show up in your dreams at night.
Right. And maybe there's something about me that's stopping myself seeing them. Who knows? Let's get to Shane in Sydney. Shane, regular listener, big supporter of the show. How are you doing, Shane?
G'day, Howard. How are you, Mark?
I'm good. I'm going to introduce you to Laurie, who's over there, and you can recount your experience.
Hi, Laura.
Hello.
I've had this dream. It's back when I grew up in the 1960s. My house where we lived in at Erskineville and my grandmother's still there. Well, she's long gone, 1972. But I'm an adult. I come into the house, and she gives me a pile of £1 notes. And I look at it, and I said, we don't have pound notes anymore. We have dollar notes. And she said, no. She's hand them around to the rest of the family, and she just wouldn't have it. It's a crazy dream.
What do you make of that, Laurie?
Okay, so was this a one-time dream, or is this recurring?
A couple of times, I think it was, Laurie.
Okay. When was the last time you had the dream?
About 2 weeks ago.
Okay, good. It's recent, so that'll make it easier to connect it to something in your real life. Now, when you were growing up, did your grandmother in particular make you feel very valued? Did she give you a sense of worth?
Oh, yes, very, very much so.
Okay, so that's what the £1 notes represent in the dream. Your self-worth. And so a couple weeks ago, perhaps something was going on where you needed to be reminded that you are, in fact, a very valuable human.
Okay. Yeah.
Sounds good to me, right. Shane. Are you all right with that? Yeah. You happy with that?
Yeah, mate. Yeah, I'm happy with that, mate.
Okay. Very
happy. Shane is a regular listener, regular supporter of the show. So nice to have you on, Shane. You please look after yourself, okay?
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, take care. I get a couple of emails a week from Shane, just finding out how things are going down under in Sydney. Very quickly, Kerry in Cannock, Staffordshire, texted me this one. When I was young, I used to have a dream about being in the living room, the main room of the house, looking out to the back garden. There would be a helicopter over the garden and men would be scaling down ropes from the helicopter. Hmm. That's a weird one. Kerry, I don't know what that might be. Laurie might know.
Okay. Interesting. So without having... This is a female?
I don't know whether it's a... It could be a male, Kerry. I'm going to guess. Kerry, tell me if I'm wrong. I'm going to guess this is a female Kerry.
Okay. So without having her to ask questions to, this dream may have been connected to some sort of authority figure in your real life that perhaps you were... Maybe you got in trouble that day or something. But did she say this was recurring?
No, this was something that she used to have when younger.
Oh, okay. So it was recurring when younger. Okay. So whenever something is above us in a dream, like a helicopter or a UFO or something above and then descends down to us, we usually represent someone in our life that is above us, an authority figure. And so with these people coming down from the helicopter into the yard, she may have gotten this dream. And of course, it depended on how she felt. Was she afraid when she saw these people coming into her yard from a helicopter? She may have gotten this dream whenever she was afraid of getting in trouble or getting the wrath of the authority figure, the parent or whatever, in real life.
What's the idea that they're always watching?
They're always watching. They're coming down on her when she fails a test or, you know, doesn't do her chores, whatever the case may have been back then.
It's amazing, isn't it? The imagery that the mind can conjure up, in this case, a helicopter.
Yes. And also, you know, helicopter parenting is a thing in it now. And of course, it probably was back then, too. So perhaps this was someone, an authority figure that was always hovering over her.
So there's always, you see, I think if people start to think in the way that you are describing, they may be able to start to work out their own dreams. That's just a thought.
Absolutely. Yes.
Get to another call. This is Sonia in Cardiff, where I spent a very happy year studying to be a journalist. Sonia, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
I'm going to introduce you to Laurie. So there's Laurie, and this is Sonia in Cardiff in South Wales. Tell your story, Sonia.
Hi, Laurie. Many years ago, probably in my late 30s, I was very ill for a very, very long time, maybe up to about a year. They didn't really know what was wrong. Possibly they thought afterwards it's a virus or even glandular fever. But during that time, for months, I had two dreams intermittently. And one of them was I was falling, and I was falling. It was like a big long well. But I never, ever hit the bottom. And I was terrified in case I would hit the bottom. Now, and the other thing was there was an oblong tablet, and it was jumping around the room and jumping onto windowsills. And it had a name on it called Milquette. So Now, I'm a person who, I don't like taking any medication. I'm anti-medication if I can, and I stay away from doctors. But at that time, I kept on having these dreams, and these dreams went on for months while I was ill. So I just wondered. Oh, okay. And I was told by somebody that if I did hit the bottom, that it would be, I'd have serious trouble. So I don't know. Okay. But I've always wondered what these two dreams meant.
Okay. Hopefully I can help you with them. So the falling dream is, and this is a myth that if you hit the ground in a falling dream that you die or you're in some kind of serious trouble. That's not true. It's some old wives tell. A lot of people hit the ground in the dream and they wake up just fine. So you were getting this falling dream during this unknown period of your life because you may have been feeling like your body and the medical system was failing you and you didn't have the support, and you were, the downward motion of the falling dream is where the meaning is. You were, it was probably reflective of your psyche at the time. Your spirit was just going down because you weren't getting any help. You weren't feeling any better. It was just this downward trajectory. Now, the other dream with the tablet, you mean like a pill, right? That was jumping around?
Yeah.
From window to window. And what was the name on it?
Milk-et.
Did you ever find out what that word or that name meant? Have you heard of it before?
No, never.
Okay, so that's interesting. When you can read in a dream, it's often jumbled and it doesn't often make sense, but there would be some kind of meaning there. We don't have enough time for me to keep digging to figure it out for you, but the jumping around of the from window to window is important. Windows represent perspective, point of view. So the tablet probably represented the medical industry, and perhaps they were trying to change your point of view to take certain medications you didn't want to. That's why I was jumping around from window to window. But you're here with us today, so I'm guessing you got it figured out and you're doing all right?
Oh, yes, I am. I'm absolutely fine. Good. But it's good. Interesting that you said about I didn't have any support. And you're quite right, I didn't, because the doctors didn't understand what was the matter with me. And also, my husband, I think, lost patience. He had no patience with illness. So, you know, so I was struggling and battling with this on my own. So you're quite right there.
Isn't that interesting? So, and Sonia, thank you for that in Cardiff. So the second dream was almost offering a solution because she was, Grantha, getting perhaps impatient with it all, and she was getting impatient with it all. And there was perhaps the answer. Interesting, eh?
Perhaps she should change her point of view about the medicine they were trying to offer her.
I wonder what that could have been. I wonder if that existed.
Yeah.
Very quick one before we have to take commercials here. This is on text. My boyfriend, and this person doesn't give her name, has dreams at times but often can't wake up during them. He starts to talk in his sleep and screams, apparently. Never heard this before. Screams,
no.
Wake me up. And I then have to wake him up. That sounds very disturbing. And she says, yes. I don't know whether you would know anything that she could do, but what could you advise that might help him to get out of that cycle?
Okay, yeah, so that's got to be very difficult, particularly for her, because I'm guessing he sleeps through it. Okay, what I would do is see if you can talk him into getting a sleep study. So I'm not real sure how it works there in the UK, but here you can go to your general practitioner and they'll set it up for you, send you to a sleep lab. So he should get a sleep study so they can figure out what's wrong. It sounds to me like it could be REM behavior disorder, where he's sort of acting out his negative dreams when he shouldn't be. We're supposed to be paralyzed, you know, while we're dreaming. So if that's the case, they'll be able to treat it. They'll give him some kind of muscle relaxer that'll keep him calm at night when he's sleeping.
So
see if you can talk him into that.
So the answer to that, you know, if you've been trying to deal with it yourself, go to your GP, go to your doctor. Tonight, introducing you to Laurie Loewenberg, dream analyst in the United States, internationally famous. Laurie, if people want to interact with you, want to see stuff that you produce, I know that you do TikTok. How would they interact with you? What are the best ways to do it?
There's several ways. Yes, I am on TikTok. It's Laurie the Dream Expert, L-A-U-R-I, Laurie the Dream Expert. That's actually all my social media, Twitter or X, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook is Laurie the Dream Expert. If you want a personal one-on-one consultation with me, we could do that through my website, which is laurielowenberg.com. But Laurie Lowenberg is hard to spell. So if you just Google Dream Expert, I'll be number one, number two, number three.
Wow. Some great SEO work there, I think, going
yes.
on.
Yes.
question I promised I'd ask you from Vanessa, who says, 3 weeks ago, I woke up to see an incredibly obvious 1 foot 3D spiky sphere gliding across my bedroom for about a minute. I rubbed my eyes. It stayed there. Now, admittedly, I had a fever at the time, says Vanessa, but she's wondered what this might be. I mean, might it have been connected with the illness like Sonia's situation was? What do you think?
It could have been, depending on what sort of medication she was taking, that might have made her groggy and made waking up a longer process than normal. It sounds like she had... The waking up and the falling asleep process is actually very complicated. There's a lot of things in the brain and in the body turning off and turning on. And sometimes when we don't sleep well, we'll get stuck as we try to wake up. We'll get stuck in the in-between state. It's called hypnagogia. And it's a hallucinatory state. You may hear strange things. You may see strange things. And it lasts just a moment. And that's probably what was happening with you. This very strange orbital globe. I bet if you drew it, it'd look pretty cool. But that's probably what it was.
Vanessa, you need to be drawing it. Send me the picture. I'll send it on to Laurie. All right, where are we going to go next? Let's go to Bath in the West Country of the United Kingdom of England. Leslie is there. Hi, Leslie.
Hi.
Laurie is listening. It's Leslie and Laurie. Leslie, take it away.
Hello, Laurie.
Hi, Leslie.
Hi. I have recurring dreams, and they are happening to me, but after a while, it actually happens, and it's on the TV. I dreamt of the 9/11. I dreamt I was being chased by fire around seawall and an island, and I was trying to get away from the fire, and I went across the road in a big tall building, but the fire followed me, but I went to the top, why I don't know, in my dream, but the fire went through the middle and I was stuck at the top. And I also dreamt of my house trying to put towels under the door because water was coming, went upstairs and the house actually left the foundations, and I was floating on water with water halfway up the window, and then there was a tsunami. So
okay.
I'm frightened of recurring dreams now in case they come true.
Okay, so what you're talking about is something called precognitive dreaming. I mentioned it a little bit in the very beginning. So precognitive dreaming is something that really needs a lot more study. But what we've learned so far is that everyone experiences it at some point in their life, and some people remember them more than others. It's hard to know how often we actually get them because we don't always remember our dreams, nor do we report them.
I remember, I remember when I was a child, my first time as a child, something happened was quite bad. Yeah, my nan and granddad lived in Australia. I was only a child, and I kept seeing my granddad float across the window in a coffin, and he sat up and waved. And quite a long time after that, they came back on his ship from Australia because my granddad was so ill. They couldn't fly back. I had to come back to the United Kingdom. What happened, I was still a child, and I've always wondered if that particular time that happened, whether I saw that happening to my granddad, because didn't know he was coming back on a ship because we were children. And then it's other things have happened as well. So I just wondered.
Well, if you haven't done it. Go ahead.
No, forgive me for that, but I just had this thought that was screaming at me while Leslie was talking. Leslie, do you want to have these dreams, or would you like them to stop?
Well, to be fair, sometimes if I have start to have a recurring dream, I think, I don't really want to do this because it's something really bad that could happen to somebody I know or family or anything else. It's really scary. But when it does happen, it's sort of, oh my gosh, I dreamt that. You know, it's really, really bad.
Yeah.
In fact, people that know me, that they used to sort of hold their fingers up and go, no. I was thinking, like, you know, I was a bit strange.
Leslie, I'll tell you what to do. If you haven't yet done this, start journaling your dreams.
Yes,
so then you have documented proof that what you dreamt, that you did dream it before it came to fruition. Also, go ahead and Google precognitive dreaming. And there's some research out there you can look into. You could even be part of a study if you wanted to. I think if you go to the International Association for the Study of Dreams, IASD.org, they sometimes do studies with precognitive dreaming. So, you might think, might want to poke around in your brain.
Leslie, listen, thank you for that. Laurie, thank you for dealing with that too. A lot of people had dreams about 9/11. I did. I was working
I did.
It's
too
bizarre. I saw, and I've heard of and read of other people who had the same dream, but about 2 days, maybe three nights before 9/11, I dreamt of a silver plane actually sliding this way out of the sky and into a pit in a field. And of course, we know the story of Flight 93 in Pennsylvania crashed into a pit. That was all that was left of that. And of course, you know, I had no idea what it was about. I remember waking up sweating and being very scared. But of course, 3 days, 2 days later, it happened in New York.
Yes. You see, the thing about precognitive dreaming, and I dreamt of being in the night before 9/11, I dreamt I was in a huge city and I was running and there's a lot of chaos and I was trying to find a large tower. And then, you know, the next day. And there was a lot of reports of people who had dreams about 9/11 before it happened. And I forgot what I was going
to
say.
But it kind of, what it always indicated to me, because I've always thought about it, whenever we get an anniversary, you know, I was, lucky.
Oh, I remember.
I went there a couple of times to report on it. But I always used to think that dreams like that, and that particular dream, worked because of a mechanic that exists, that all events make an impact in time.
Yes,
and those events are like ripples in a pond. They go this way forward, but they also go that way backward. Maybe that's what it is.
That you said almost exactly what I was about to say. That time isn't linear, you know, and then perhaps it's circular in some way. You know, we just perceive it as linear because we're stuck in these bodies that are limited. But huge things like that that impact the world, I think it does send out a ripple effect, and a lot of us pick up on it.
Vic in Paignton asks, and I promised I would ask this, very simply, and if there is a quick answer to this, it'd be gratefully received. Why do we sometimes remember and sometimes very often not remember what we've dreamt?
Yep. Yes, it's frustrating. Okay, so dreams by nature are hard to remember because they happen in the same part of the brain where short-term memory is stored, and also the process of memory consolidation where your synapses connect isn't as strong during REM dream sleep. So they're just hard to capture. So what you can do to remember your dreams, when you wake up, don't move. Stay in the exact same position you woke up in. Don't move your body at all. Close your eyes, quiet your mind, and let the dream come back to you, and that's all it takes.
And somebody once said to me, if you say to yourself before you go to sleep, I'm going to remember my dreams, you will.
That helps. Setting intention. Keep a dream journal by your bed. Leave it open to let your subconscious know that you're ready and open to receive the dreams that it gives you. And then, most importantly, don't move when you wake up.
Right. I'll bear that one in mind. Mike in Southport, Merseyside or Lancashire, depending on which way you look at it. You're on Talk Radio and Talk TV. Laurie's listening. What's your story?
Hi, Howard. How are you, Laurie? I've got many dreams from when I was a kid. Things where you're lying and watching a telly, you fall asleep,
and then you feel a falling, and then you wake up. And I know that's something to do with, you could say, where you're at the moment between sleep and awake, and it could be astral body. But the thing is, my dreams have been so weird. I've dreamt, and I believed at the time, and it really happened. I wrote a song with Paul McCartney, and I was so gutted that I woke up and I couldn't remember the song. I also had, this is weird, I had a date with Lady Diana. I've also, when I was a kid, about nine, I dreamt about a horse that was going to win the Grand National, told my mum, and it did. It was a housewife's choice. It was called Gate Trip, and it won. But there's loads of disconnected dreams, nothing to do with, well, connected and not connected, you know, to do with things that have happened, not connected to the week or the year, and loads of normal ones. But one about when I could fly, because I jump off a wall, I had that many times. I could just fly across the road.
There's a lot of stuff to be going on with there, Mike. Let's just ask Laurie. You know, dreaming about famous people, like having a date with the late Princess Diana, or writing a song with Paul McCartney that you later don't remember. I don't think all of us do that. That sounds pretty unusual to me.
I'm a big celebrity dreamer. They're fun to dream about. And in these dreams, you're having some sort of camaraderie with them. You're either dating them, or they're your best friend, or you're doing something with them. Now, remember, everything in your dream is some aspect of the self. So Paul McCartney would represent some part of, I can't remember his name, I'm sorry.
This is Mike in Southport, yeah.
Mike, I should know, that's my husband's name. So there's something about Paul McCartney that he identified with and at the time. And Princess Diana, perhaps she represented the victimhood, or depending on how he felt about her, you know, she represented some part of himself. So celebrities will represent a part of you. And it can be a song they've written, a movie they've been in, a character they've played that you identify with that is at play in your life right now.
I think she's a great guest. What do you think? Remarkable dream analyst Laurie Loewenberg in America. Check her out online. She has a very good website. More great guests in the pipeline here at the Home of the Unexplained. So until we meet again, my name is Howard Hughes. This has been The Unexplained. And whatever you do, please stay safe. Please stay calm. And above all, please stay in touch. Thank you very much. Take care. Bye-bye.